Welcome to episode 66 of the Accessibility Craft Podcast, where we explore the art of creating accessible websites while trying out interesting craft beverages. This podcast is brought to you by the team at Equalize Digital, a WordPress accessibility company and the proud creators of the Accessibility Checker plugin. In this episode, we chat with Ronnie Burt, the head of Gravatar at Automattic, about the recent addition of alternative text support in Gravatar, the far-reaching effects this will have, and how individuals and organizations in WordPress can begin using the new setting. Finally, Ronnie reflects on recent changes in his own life's journey that have highlighted the importance of accessibility for him personally. For show notes and a full transcript, go to accessibilitycraft.com/066. And now, on to the show.
Hey, everybody, it's Amber, and I'm here today with Steve.
Hello, everyone.
Go ahead. You want to introduce our special guest?
Sure. So we've had the pleasure of running into Ronnie at various WordCamps, but now we have the pleasure to have him on the podcast today. Ronnie, would you introduce yourself?
Sure. Thank you very much for having me. I'm excited. My name is Ronnie Burt. I live in Austin, Texas. I work for Automattic in the WordPress ecosystem. And my first experience with accessibility actually goes back to 2001. And when I was thinking about that, being 23 years ago, it kind of stressed me out. But it was when I was an undergrad student at the University of Texas. I lucked out into an internship at what was called the Accessibility Institute. And there was a professor there named Dr. John Slayton, and he ran this institute, and he's actually one of the main authors of the and contributors to the original accessibility guidelines that we all use
and know. Web content accessibility guidelines.
Exactly. And literally he wrote the book on web accessibility, and so we were pretty early on, and I was just the intern lackey helping plug in the keyboards and mouse. There were several people in the office, Dr. Slayton included, that were visually impaired. We had dogs in the office. I mean, it was a fun place. I got to hear all the screen readers and how fast they listen to everything every day. And I was doing accessibility audits of university websites way back in 2001.
Had you ever heard of that before you came as a student and got that internship? And what made you get that specific? Was it just incidental that you were assigned
I was becoming a teacher, and I went on and I taught math for 6 years. And so I was in a program for math teachers, and they had all these internship options. And actually, it's kind of a weird story, but before it became the Accessibility Institute, that particular research division at the university was an education technology institute. And it was still on the list as an EdTech institute when I signed up for it. But then I got there and they were like, well, we're changing focus and mission. We're all about accessibility. And I didn't really, I was like, well, I'll hang out. I'll learn and help. It was a great job. My grandmother had macular degeneration, and I remember going through with her, getting her set up on some of the assistive technology. She wasn't using computers, and there was no cell phones or anything, but the magnifying devices and some of that. And so that was my only experience and kind of interest in it. And then spent 3 years there in that office, just soaking it all up.
Awesome. Well, we are really excited to have you here. And of course, we start every episode with a beverage so we can have our own personal happy hour, which is super fun. And we messaged you and said, hey, what's your beverage of choice? And you said hard seltzer.
Yeah, so, anything ranch water-like. So perfect.
Yeah, I hope this works. So I told Chris that. And we've had ranch water. So of course, we try to get new things we've never had. He went and found Blue Norther Hard Seltzer. Have you had this one before?
I have not.
From Austin.
Which I love the fact that it's from Austin.
And it's prickly pear flavored, which is perfect for Texas.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm excited to try it.
So have you ever had a prickly pear thing, Steve?
No, I haven't. I have not.
So they are bright pink, this can is a bright pink, and they do actually make a bright pink juice. And it grows, I don't know. It's a fruit, I guess. It grows on the edge of the cactus.
Yep.
Oh, so it actually is prickly.
Yeah, I have had prickly pear juice, but I honestly can't remember what it tasted like. And
This,
so you
so
never
this will be
know.
an adventure for all of us.
Yeah.
All right, so shall
Very
we
cool.
open this and see how it tastes? Got to get that can noise on the
Yeah.
podcast. It's always fun. Yeah. All right. Does it smell fruity enough?
Nice.
Yeah. A little.
Oh yeah, I like it. I don't think we've ever done a hard seltzer. We don't usually do too much. The last time we did a liquor or a liqueur was we did Stroop waffle liqueur with Yost and Marika,
That
which
had
was
to be
kind of
interesting.
fun.
I need to look that
What do
up.
you think, Steve?
I mean, it's good. It's only 5%, right? Like, so it's not like it's not that hard, right?
Yeah, we've drank ciders and beers that were more alcoholic than this.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't
I
know.
mean,
It's pretty smooth. I mean,
on a hot summer day, it's pretty nice.
Yeah, so I was trying. Normally we give a whole like, here's what they say the flavor is and all that kind of stuff. And
Yeah.
so I went to go find their website. And I don't know if you guys have gone to try and find their website. It
Somebody
doesn't
needs to pay their
function.
bill. Somebody needs to update their billing.
They have a Squarespace website, not
Yeah.
WordPress, and it is down. And it's literally like, if you are the owner of this, but I was debating. I was like, is this a good sign? Like, it's doing so well, and they're making so many sales out of like grocery stores and liquor stores and gas stations and wherever else that they don't need a website. Or do we think we have limited edition seltzer that may go away and no longer be available?
Yeah, how did you find it?
Was at HEB, which is
Yeah, well,
our
there
grocery
you go.
store.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But
I
that
guess
doesn't
it's
mean it's
made
not like the
here.
last cases that are going to stop being restocked.
Yeah, I mean,
Oh
it's
no.
interesting because their URL is even printed on the bottom of the can. Like, you don't always see that. So
And it
yeah,
doesn't
it's
work.
drinkbluenorther.com if you want to go laugh at how they haven't paid their Squarespace bill. Maybe they'll have by the time this episode comes out.
It's also a little concerning at the very top. There's a, I guess, a typo where they misspelled Texas or they left the S off of Texas.
Wait, where?
Drink blue, and then it says taste Texa on mine. So it's like, that's.
I have that also.
Where?
Oh, that's
Oh, it
funny.
does.
But
It does. It's correct on
it's
one side
spelled.
and it's incorrect on the other. Yeah.
They just
So
ran out of
they're
space.
definitely a homegrown. Like we try to find
Don't
small
know.
beverage
Yeah.
distributors. I
I don't
think
know if
that's
this is
what
good.
we would call this.
I don't know if this is going to be on video, but like, can you see it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it tastes
Missing the S.
Texan.
It's pretty
Somebody needed a little. Yeah, so I would say their marketing needs some help. Maybe we're helping them with it. It tastes
Yeah.
good though, right? Would we all drink it again?
I totally have it
Yeah.
again.
Yeah. And what I did find was they do have active social media. So maybe that's a good sign for they're sticking around. When I was Googling it, and they call it the champagne of Texas.
You know,
Champagne
it
of
does
Texas.
taste a lot like champagne.
Yeah. It's easy. Like it's not like it doesn't even taste alcoholic to me, so
No.
like,
So this will be a real fun episode after
Yeah,
Steve drinks the
there you
whole
go.
can in about
Yeah.
5 minutes.
Yep. No work's getting done this afternoon.
All right. So while we enjoy our prickly pear hard seltzer,
Yeah.
Ronnie, we mostly invited you here. I mean, we really like you, but you did something really cool with Gravatar recently and added support for alternative text. And I was wondering if you could tell us about that.
Yeah. So about 6 months ago or a little bit more towards the second half of last year. Well, let me take a step back. Gravatar, for those that may
Oh,
not
yeah.
be
What is
aware,
Gravatar?
Gravatar is actually about 20 years old as a product. It was started by a guy named Tom Preston Warner, who then went on to be a co-founder of GitHub, if you've ever heard of GitHub. So, and among other things. And so it was the first acquisition by Automattic. I mean, we're talking like 17, 18 years ago, before my time and Automattic. And over the years, it's really it's had time where people have worked on it, but it's also had long periods of time where people haven't really been paying much attention to it. But it's been quietly like powering the little avatar that follows you around the web, not just WordPress sites, but it's in GitHub, it's in Slack, it's in Atlassian
Tumblr.
Products. It's not in Tumblr.
Oh, it's not?
No, because that one, the avatars are tied to the blog and not the user. Or something, but we've talked about that and looked at that, but it's just something that's just been kind of around and floating around. It's a free service, and so about 6 months ago, actually, I was looking around, was chatting in ChatGPT, and I was noticing my photo was there, and I was like, how did they get my photo in ChatGPT? Why am I chatting with my photo? ChatGPT is using Gravatar, and we were like, so people are still finding it. I mean, this is something that's new, or you know. ChatGPT is something that's new that's still like finding a reason to bring in Gravatar. So we kind of started talking about it internally and we were like, well, let's put a team behind it again and see if we can make something out of it, see if we can, you know, make it a little bit bigger. So that's what I've been focusing on for the last, well, since the second part of last year. And
for non-technical people, basically, you go to the website, you sign up with your email address and you say, this is a picture I want to associate with my email address, and then people or websites
yep.
can query
and then wherever
that.
You use that email address around the web, any website can pull that picture. Just all they need to know is your email address. And it's actually beyond the picture. There's other profile data that you can choose to add. It's all optional. Your name, display name, location, bio, where you work, all that kind of stuff. But it's mostly known for its avatar and its picture. But of course, anything that's a picture or a photo, we need alt text. And Gravatar had none. It's historically never had any. And I think, Amber, was it you that asked about it, or someone asked about it on Twitter or said something?
So I think we can give some credit to Bette Hannon. She,
yeah.
I was writing some stuff and she responded on something that I wrote on Twitter and she tagged you and she's like, wait, Ronnie, can't you do something about this?
Yeah. And I was like,
why,
of course,
I didn't think to tag you.
Well, I don't know why I didn't think to look into it earlier. Like, why? I just never noticed that we don't have alt text available within Gravatar. So I asked the team, and we were able to quickly add a field. And it's not as simple as you would think to just add a field to anything in Gravatar, because it has to go into a database. And this database has millions, hundreds of millions of users and like all these tables. And it's this is over my head, but like, I can't just add any field I want whenever I want. It's a process.
Right.
And so we got the field added, and then we can add. So we added our first implementation to make it easy to where someone can go add alt text to their profile. And so you can do that by going into gravatar.com, editing your profile and clicking on the picture, and there's three dots and one of the fields is edit the alt text. My hope is, and this is just the beginning, we are going to make it more when you upload your image, your photo for the very first time, we should prompt you for the alt text then and there. But this is a place we could start pretty quickly and roll that out.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, when I heard that you guys had added the alt text, I immediately went, I was like, where can I find this? And I immediately went to my profile and I was like, oh, there it is, right? Like,
yep.
So you said in the profile, you just hover over. So I have multiple emails and multiple images, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can do this per image and there's just three dots you click on alt text, and then it brings up a input field where you can just modify it. Pretty
so
cool.
That's how we can
yes.
start to get the alt text in to the
yeah.
database. So that was just
I noticed one. When I did mine that there was default alt set. This caused this whole other thing that maybe towards the end, maybe I can get my personal troubleshooting help from you on Gravatar.
Yeah, of course.
But it was so it took me a while to figure out that it was my display name. So it said like display names apostrophe s avatar as the default, which of course my name display name I set like I don't know 15 years ago.
It
was like Amber at Ocore, which is what I used to call my blog. Which I was like, so it's like Amber at Ocore's avatar. So I was curious if you all had any discussions about weaving that empty to start versus having a default, and pros and cons on that.
We did have a discussion. Honestly, I think I made the ultimate decision, and it was just like a gut feeling, and I'm not even sure I made the right decision. So I'm totally open to go back and reverting. And if people have an edit,
I think it's bad. Do you think, Steve?
No, I mean, I don't think, like, I was like you, Amber. I pulled mine up, and of course, I created this Gravatar account ages ago, and it was called like I Steve Jones, and that's actually my slug, which that's another question I have is like, can I change that? But like,
let's talk about this in a minute.
Yeah, but it said I Steve Jones avatar, right? So I modified it to Steve Jones avatar. I mean, maybe there's, I don't know how descriptive I should. I mean, I guess that's up to each user how descriptive you want to be about that image, right? Like about my ethnicity or, you know.
What? The purpose, how, the reason why you chose that image or something, right? How, why it represents you. And I think that's one thing I want to do is give the user a little bit of context and a little help on like how to, what would be useful there. I also think, you know, most of the time where your avatar is displayed, your name or your display name or something is right around it. And so it might actually be not great for a screen reader user to hear. Yeah, it could be redundant. So that's an argument, I think, for leaving it blank unless there's a purpose for the alt text. But then I was just, people will, I don't know, come back and be like, why is there no alt text? I don't know. It's like, that's a thing that I think we know that a lot of people don't, a lot of people still struggle with, like, okay, what alt text should be and what's the purpose of the alt text.
This episode of Accessibility Craft is sponsored by Equalize Digital Accessibility Checker, the WordPress plugin that helps you find accessibility problems before you hit publish. A WordPress native tool, Accessibility Checker provides reports directly on the post edit screen. Reports are comprehensive enough for an accessibility professional or developer, but easy enough for a content creator to understand. Accessibility Checker is an ideal tool to audit existing WordPress websites, find accessibility problems during new builds, or monitor accessibility and remind content creators of accessibility best practices on an ongoing basis. Scans run on your server, so there are no per-page fees or external API connections. GDPR and privacy compliant, real-time accessibility scanning. Scan unlimited posts and pages with Accessibility Checker free. Upgrade to a paid version of Accessibility Checker to scan custom post types and password-protected sites. View site-wide open issue reports and more. Download Accessibility Checker free today at equalizedigital.com/accessibility-checker. Use coupon code accessibilitycraft to save 10% on any paid plan.
That's an ongoing.
Yeah, we have a whole nother podcast episode about this.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always landed on, based on things that conversations I've had with our testers, with my friend Alex Stein, who is on the WordPress accessibility team. Also, I follow Haben Gurma. I don't know if you know who she is. She is deafblind. She is a lawyer. She went through Harvard Law School and a bunch of other stuff. But if anyone has not heard of Haben Gurma, I follow her mostly on LinkedIn, but she's on almost all the social platforms and she educates a lot. And she is Black. And she has this video where she's talking about why she thinks it's important for people to always describe, because she said people would tell her, other blind people would tell her they thought she was a white person. And like, they just assumed she was white. And she's like, I don't know why. They just think I'm white with blonde hair. but like, a thing that's been interesting, and I've done some discussion or like some education points on this with our clients is, you know, there are definitely contexts where it is really helpful to get diversity information. Like if you're putting together a profile page for a school, right? Parents might want to know if there's going to be teachers that match, you know, or for a conference, if you want to be able to communicate that the organizing team or the speakers are diverse. On our own team page, we have, I mean, I don't write them for people. I've asked everyone on the team to provide them. So like one of our developers, he's like, has messy hair and massive beard or something like that, right? But I don't know. That's kind of how I've always approached it, that it's helpful to provide the same information a sighted person would have because it might be useful. Like, you know.
Yeah. So mine should say extremely handsome developer Steve Jones, right? Like,
His early 20s?
In his early 20s, yeah.
But, how frequently should we be updating our alt text?
So I have a question just to jump back a little bit. But like if I would have had my under about, if I would have had my display name filled out, which I don't, would it have pulled that rather than my slug?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
It would have pulled your display name. Exactly. But the thing is, you know, apostrophe S, that's possessive in English only, but Gravatar is used in like a bajillion languages. And so this is also a bad thing that we're...
Are you still adding apostrophe S?
I would imagine that we probably are. I was just thinking about it right now. So I'm going to make a note to go look and see what we're doing with other languages.
Yeah. I mean,
it needs to be avatar of display name.
I mean, mine was like, it was I, Steve Jones... apostrophe S, where it really should just be apostrophe.
Yeah. So all these, I got to get rid of the apostrophe. I need to make it something that like is better. So this was let's get something out there. We can always fix it and improve it and then try to make people use it.
You know, there's an interesting psychology question around that too, which is like, if someone clicks it and opens it, apparently I'm going to lose my voice here. But if someone clicks it and opens it, and it's already filled in with like the default, if they might be like, oh, I don't need to do anything, it's good.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know what that happened. So I wonder if maybe in that modal, there could be like a link that's like how to write good alt text that goes to documentation somewhere that explains about it.
Yeah, definitely. That's something that we need to do.
So when I noticed this, so the first thing I did after checking the avatar is I immediately went to, you know, WordPress.org and Google. I was like, I want to see this alt text, and I didn't see it.
Yeah.
So what's the plan for implementation of this throughout like core and?
So it's a surprisingly complex process, and I can try to explain a little bit of it the way I understand it. But so now that it's in our database, we've added it to our what I call our legacy API, which is the API that's been available for like almost 20 years. It's a JSON API, and that field is available there now. But wherever it's implemented, whoever sets it up has to go and call for that field, right?
Right.
And so we need to update all of our documentation. We need to go update all the reference implementations, go into WordPress core, wherever it's shown. Some of that we control, like our hover cards, which are one of the most frequently places that it's used. Like when you hover over a comment or over an avatar on any comment anywhere, that's our hover card that we've fixed or added. So it's there. But, it's a process. Now, on top of that, one of the things our team is doing is that is a very old, unstructured API. We're creating a new one, a REST API that's well formatted, will support versioning, that we can like, you know, is more modern and up to date. So that will definitely have the alt text in there and all of our docs and everything and reference implementations will have it there. And that's when we can, once that's available, which will be in May, then we can go to WordPress core and say, we want to update this in WordPress core using the new REST API.
Is there a track ticket for it yet?
Or I don't think the ticket is there, but the discussion is there and it's known. And I know that there's work already done on the profile, like the profile page itself in WordPress core, where you go and edit your profile, is like in the queue to be completely revamped and all this redesign stuff within WordPress core. So it's kind of like that timing, making it happen with that. Otherwise it gets hard. As soon as we have the API, the new API, we'll create the ticket and make sure everyone knows where it is and try to get some traction.
Yeah. Maybe you can send us the link.
Yeah, definitely.
And we can add it to the show notes.
So pretty cool.
Are there any, is there anything that like plugin or theme developers have to do?
It depends on how they're implementing the avatar and where. If they're pulling using base WordPress, like comments, like if it's just using the commenting system that comes in WordPress, as long as we update it in WordPress core, it'll update in the theme. If they have like a unique implementation of pulling the avatar, they would need to go and also ask for the alt text. Mm. So that's part of the problem with this older API too, is like, we don't even know who's using it where. People don't have keys. It's like, we have no visibility into what's going on. And that's a reason why we want to move to this modernized one. So any future mm-hmm. things like this, we have lists to contact and like specific, like, hey, this is something you need to do. That's a work in progress.
So like if a theme developer, plugin developer is utilizing WordPress hooks or functions to pull Gravatar, when that gets updated in core, will that be available in those same methods?
It should. That's my understanding. And we'll do some testing and make sure. And I think that'll also give us a great opportunity to then have the attention of plugin developers and theme developers that maybe aren't using the hooks, right? And like, yeah, I feel like if we tried to make bigger announcements now, it won't be really understood. And then we want you to change to the REST API in a few weeks. And then we, you know, like kind of like do it all at once. I think will help with some of the messaging and communication. And we're not talking like 6 months plus down the road. We're talking within this release cycle of core.
Cool. Very cool. I mean, it's awesome that you can move that fast, because sometimes for big enterprise, you can't really move that fast. So I'm impressed that you were like, you saw it and within a few weeks you had the field and moved forward.
Thank you. It's a benefit of Gravatar, and we're a small but mighty team, and we kind of like a little startup within the bigger company, which is nice.
Yeah, totally. So alt text is awesome. Great work on that. So in that vein, are there any other accessibility enhancements, any other cool things about Gravatar that you can tease with us here?
Yeah, I mean, something I would love some feedback or anybody to contact me and talk about, but why we're building the next iteration of Gravatar is developer tools, developer APIs, so that developers can implement in their apps or their website or whatever. That makes onboarding easier, makes like setting up users and knowing your users faster. But that also translates to then being a better, faster, like more equitable, I don't know if that's the right word, but like a for the end user, right? Mm-hmm. And so we want to know, are there fields that would be helpful in the user's profile, in their Gravatar profile, that a developer could pull from and then know and be able to tailor that experience better? Now, I don't know that I really need to think a lot about this. Like, do we want to ask, like, select here if you're visually impaired or use a screen, or if you're use a screen reader or whatnot? And a lot of this stuff I know comes, like, you can pull from the browser settings or something, mm-hmm. maybe. But there might be things in the profile that are like default settings for a mobile app or things that we all go whenever we set up something new, that if we simplify that for everyone, that really can impact and improve the experience of those with different disabilities. Less to type in, less to listen to. It's just kind of set up for them if they know that mm-hmm. it's set up from a trusted source and in a way that they've like approved, this is the data that I want them to know about me. What your interests are, instead of having to go through and like set up what your interests are in your podcast tool, whatever you listen to podcasts on, if your interests are known in Gravatar, then that podcast device
could pull like defaults.
Could pull the defaults for you and give you a faster experience. And that's not technically an accessibility feature, but I think it could have the best impact, like the greatest impact on people with different disabilities.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, one source of truth, right? You enter it in one place and it updates everywhere. I mean, I think it's great. Yeah.
Yeah. The trick will people be interested in this? Will they be comfortable sharing things? And will developers want to pull from it? So that's what we hope to find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I feel like not too long ago, you guys were promoting that there's the landing pages now in Gravatar, which is more like a Linktree alternative or something where you could be like, here's all the places you can find me. And I feel like this is kind of among the same thing, right? Like having one place that can distribute people out. Can you tell, are a lot of people sending traffic there and using those pages yet or not really?
We have some power users, which are fun to see. And then we have some that set it up and then maybe doesn't get as much traffic or whatever. But I think it has potential. I mean, we don't want to be an exact replica of like a Linktree, but for the average person who doesn't need a full Linktree, like this is a nice place to send people. I personally think it's better than sharing your LinkedIn profile, because my LinkedIn profile is on it, but this can give you more information. And you don't have to like, no one has to log in to access it. And I don't know.
This was actually something that like, and this tells you like, I mean, I've been to Gravatar recently and updated my image like within the last year. But I pulled that up and I noticed, I was like, oh, this is different. This is new. Like, so like now I feel like I need to go in and fill out all my stuff so that my,
so that so my, it won't look,
my profile page doesn't look blank. And it's cool that you got like a QR code there where people can just scan that and get your details.
You're falling into the master plan.
There you go.
Yeah.
Once you set up the profile, then now any third party can go and pull that information if you agree, if you're okay with that.
Yeah.
So this is the Amber gets personal tech support part, right?
Yeah.
Here's what I figured out when I went in to investigate this alt text feature. My URL slug was the Heinz family. Because it was from when I like created my personal blog. Yeah. Which has never mattered. And that was how I logged into WordPress.com. So I went to go change it to Amber Hines. And then it's like, it's taken. And I was like, oh, that's weird. Who's Amber Hines? So I went to look and I was like, oh, that was me too.
Oh,
yeah.
Only if you go to like Gravatar/Amber Hines, it has the profile of the restaurant that Chris worked at when we were on Nantucket, the Brotherhood of Thieves. So probably I didn't want their Jetpack account connected to my personal, and so I set up a different one and I use it to and now I'm all like, okay, so I own this. I know I own this. I have no idea how to log into it.
We can do some digging.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, we can definitely do some digging. But it is like this is a confusing thing.
There's like weird things, right? My background image was really weird. Where did all this come from?
The way it was set up years and years and years ago was this deep connection with WordPress.com, which makes sense in a lot of ways, but can also be confusing if you're also a WordPress.com user, right? And we're working on like how to make that more obvious and sync. You can change your username. Yeah, you said it was already taken. The other thing very soon is that you can map domains, so you don't have to use a Gravatar. You can like
use your own
AmberHines.link or any domain or something. Yeah,
that's neat.
So that'll be cool.
So mine's interesting. If I go in to modify my username, it says it already exists, just like what Amber had. But if I go to it, I get a 404 page. Like,
so someone that 404 means the username exists, but the profile is private or deleted.
Oh, I see.
But it maybe it's just on WordPress.com as a user. So yeah, we need to help sort all those out. This really impacts those of us in like the WordPress ecosystem a lot, that who have been like
more
building
than
a lot
other
of things.
People.
Yeah, than your average like user that's not.
Will it always
account.
Stay connected to WordPress.com in that way, or do you see it separating out since it's trying to do more than just serve WordPress?
That's a big conversation we've had. It's a huge lift to break them up. And so I think if I can show a huge need and like Gravatar's really growing way faster than it is now, then it'll be more obvious that we can put all the resources behind it to be able to break it up. But otherwise it's like, it would take like everybody I have plus like months and months and months, and we wouldn't be able to do anything else to figure that out. And so it's a trade-off.
Well, it sounds like you have a lot of cool things that you're working on, and I'm excited to see what you do with it. I thought it might be good for us to pivot topics a little bit. When we were planning this episode, you mentioned that you had recently been more personally experiencing the importance of accessibility. And I was wondering if you wanted to share that with everyone who's listening.
Yeah, it's, for the last almost 3 years, I've had an increasing number of symptoms, I guess, that I've seen lots of doctors, and it's been a long process, but I have a Parkinsonian disorder. I know that it's related to Parkinson's disease, or it is Parkinson's disease. So one of those. And it really impacts my hands a lot. They're slow and sore and they shake. If you're on video, like, this is as still as I can keep my fingers sometimes. Mm-hmm. And especially if I'm like trying to keep them still, it's weird. And
It's harder if you're trying to focus on it.
Yeah. Well, if I keep them close together, if I spread them out, it's easier. I don't know. It's weird. So it's like, especially on my mobile phone, it really has started to impact my use on my phone. Luckily, typing 99% okay. I think I'm a little slower. I'm a power user of Grammarly, and my typo percentage, I get a weekly update, and I'm definitely making more and more typos, but Grammarly catches that, so that's okay. But on the phone, it's harder. So I'm using a like text or speech to text more. The swipe keyboard is helpful, but not always perfect. But yeah, I just definitely experienced more and more frequently, like, oh, I wish this app would do this a little bit differently. It would really help me out kind of thing.
What are specific things that apps could do differently that would help you? Or websites, if web developers are thinking about this?
Well, for me, and this actually came up in Gravatar just today, always a way to undo whatever I just accidentally did. And this isn't unique to like people with disabilities. Like, we all make mistakes and click on something we didn't mean to. We're just not paying attention or whatever. But like, I'm clicking on places that I didn't mean to click more frequently. Like, I was buying something on my phone, which I hardly ever do, but I was buying something on my phone the other day, and the coupon field that's right above the pay was right above the pay button, like with no space, like the pay now button. And I had like a pretty substantial coupon I was going to enter in before I push pay. Well, I clicked pay and like the transaction went through, gone.
And there wasn't a "are you sure" message.
There was no
or
"are you sure"
to, like,
message.
Confirm.
There was like no "cancel this order now. There's still time." You know, on like Amazon, you have like hours to like cancel easily or whatever. And it was no big deal. This was a smaller retail. Like, I emailed them and I said, "Oh, I meant to apply this coupon," and they just applied it for me and gave me the refund. So it was fine, but I had to go through that, right? And for a minute, I was like, "Man, I'm out. This money. This is like going to be a pain to go through." And if there was just a "Oops, cancel" or whatever, like, even it would have been,
or
nice.
Better spacing,
yeah,
between
even
the probably, task,
yeah,
targets.
Better spacing would have also been helpful because sometimes like I just can't push exactly where I want to push. And so like today we were doing email onboarding emails in Gravatar, and the question came up, like, should we just unsubscribe someone and like just have a "okay, you're unsubscribe" message, or should we go through the work of adding like a "oops, I didn't mean to unsubscribe, resubscribe me" to this like marketing campaign? And my first gut feeling, I wrote, "Nah, we don't. If they unsubscribe, they don't want it. They meant to unsubscribe. This is going to take you a few hours to like develop. It's not worth the hassle." And then I was like, "Wait a second. What if they didn't mean to click unsubscribe? They meant to click the share button right next to it or something." Mm-hmm. Like, I want to give them an easy way to come back and resubscribe. So it is worth the extra couple of hours of development time. So I would any of those like "oops" moments that we can avoid, it helps everyone. And this is something I learned going back to the Accessibility Institute at the University of Texas. Dr. Slayton's quote, like, it was at the end of every email that he ever wrote, was like, "Accessible good design is accessible design," or accessible, I can't ever remember, it doesn't matter which the direction it is. Like, if you're helping everybody, like, if you're being accessible, you're also helping everybody. Like, everyone's going to be able to take advantage of this improvement in one way or another.
I think it underscores the importance of why we're doing accessibility, right? We're not just doing it for people with different abilities today, right? Like, we're doing it for for people's abilities that are going to change over time. Like, we're all on the road to aging here, right? Like, yeah. You know, like Amber said, I'm in my 20s. I've got a long time, right? Not really. For those
we're all laughing because I'm not sure that number's fully accurate.
Yeah. Amber's laughing because I look like I'm in my 40s, but I'm actually in my 20s, right? Like, but we're all on this journey, right, of life, and as we age, things degradate, right? So like if we're all making an effort to build the web accessible now, I think that not only people with different abilities are going to be able to benefit now, but we ourselves are going to be able to benefit in the future.
Yeah. I think too, you know, we used to sort of in the beginning, we'd be like, oh, it doesn't matter. Like, old people don't buy things online.
Yeah.
Anyway, right? Like, I don't know, like 5-10 years ago, that's what we were saying. Well, we're not. Yeah. And I even remember, right? My grandma refused. Like, she would not. But we're all going to be old and we like buying things online. I don't think one day we're going to get up and be like, nah, I'm not buying anything online anymore. I'm going to call them on the phone and try and give them my credit card. Right? Or write them a check. We're not suddenly going to switch to that, right? So like, I think the age at which we're going to expect people to continue using our technology is going to get older and older and older, because the generations that are like living technology and want to use technology is not going to suddenly stop.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And and I think, you know, there's always also, you know, some people have unfortunate accidents or just like things that overnight totally change. Kathy Zant in the WordPress community has written quite a bit about her husband who had a stroke, and he was totally healthy, and you know, which things can happen unexpectedly. So I think that's something maybe sometimes people forget. Like, they just think accessibility is about you were born with it.
Yeah.
And it is for those people, but it's for all of us, really.
And also it could be temporary. Like, if you break your hands or break an arm or whatever, and you just can't, like, but you still need to like participate the way you're used to participating.
Yeah.
And you might heal, but you will greatly appreciate. There's an interim. Yeah.
You drink too much prickly pear.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
You got to be able to order that Uber, like, to get home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and one thing I'm really noticing is like authentication and login and passwords. And password managers are great, but then my password for my password manager is super long and complicated. And like, I can't type that without making a mistake, like even normally. And then like, you know, now is even worse.
Just don't change it to password 123. Okay, Ronnie.
Okay. I know it needs to be something in a row, or I can just go, shh. No, I'm just kidding. But,
like everything across the,
But if
I have trouble, honestly, I use the Google Authenticator app, and I have thought multiple times, I really wish I could change, like, that there was a setting in there where I could say how many seconds the numbers would stay valid for before they change. Because I've had it change on me. And then I'm like, I'm a typical sighted person. I can't imagine like listening to it on my phone on one device and my computer, right?
Yeah.
On the other ear, which I've seen our testers, like, they're in two different ears hearing two different things, which I'm just like, your brain power is way better than mine. But I have trouble with that authenticator app.
Even setting up two-factor authentication, when you have to drag over the thing and scan the QR code on the on the page.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
how would a non-sighted person do that? It's I feel like authentication is an area that is like ripe for massive improvements and change. And we've worked on it actually with Gravatar. I don't know what we're going to be able to ever like release to make better, because it is a very complicated thing, but I see the importance of it even more and more when it comes to accessibility.
Yeah. I almost wonder, and maybe this is something Gravatar could do that would be really interesting, is being like an alternative single sign-on method, right? I don't know how much you want to battle.
No, that's exactly what I wanted to do, Apple, and what I was talking about.
Yeah.
And but right now that means WordPress.com, which is fine, which is what we can do. Because our accounts are linked. But that is an area we've thought about, because then that would give you the permission to say, hey, I also want to share all of this data about me that's in my Gravatar profile with the service that I'm logging into. And so it's like a natural place of getting that permission. for the user. So I it's still a direction we want to go in. There's just a huge, like, being responsible for the security aspect of authentication is that's a big risk that we need to be very careful about.
Yeah. On the mobile side, I don't know if you tuned in for this the other night, but Jan Wild she's from Accessibility Oz in Australia. She presented at WordPress Accessibility Meetup. She helped write the ICT, which I always forget, but basically it's like an international group that does accessibility testing separate from WCAG. They wrote the mobile guidelines for testing mobile. And she was talking about a lot of stuff related to tap target and like the sizing of it and positioning and dead space in between and like all of that kind of stuff. So for anyone listening, I'll throw a link in the show notes to her video. It's definitely, I learned so much listening to her presentation about it's, that. Cause there's a lot on mobile that you don't always think about.
Yeah. And it's so hard as the screens get smaller. I mean, I use my watch. I love my watch. It's the best for like being able to talk in and text. Like it works faster than the phone, but yeah, just unlocking it is like a chat, you know, like I have to hit the password and everything. So these guidelines are important because I think every product manager, every product designer, every developer out there wants to implement these things in as accessible of a way as possible. It's just, we gotta like continue to fight the fight of letting people awareness and making it easier to implement.
Yeah. I mean, it has to become top of mind for a developer, you know?
Yeah.
It has to, you have to integrate this way of thinking into your development process, right? It's sometimes we get so caught
start
up on
earlier.
Yeah, like we always say, shift left. Like it needs, I mean, even before it gets to the development, right? Like it's happening in design, but like you have to develop from that standpoint that those things are just as important as the feature sets that are set out in front of you, right? Like if it's not accessible, it's broken. That's what we say. And it's we've got a lot of work ahead of us to continue to promote that message out to developers and to the community as a whole.
Yeah, and the products I work on, I always say a typo is a huge bug. That's why I caught the typo on can. And then I say anything accessibility is like a breaking bug. It should be treated as a breaking bug. And that's just a mindset you have to have.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't just like say, okay, we'll get this in the next sprint, because then what happens? You run out of time and you say, oh, we'll put it in the next sprint. Put it in the next sprint. Yeah. So have you, I know you've worked outside of Automatic. You've also worked at some other big companies. Have you felt like you've noticed a shift in importance over your career in like companies saying, okay, yeah, this is important. And what's your thought on like, is there a lot we have to do still there at some of these bigger companies to educate people, or are you seeing more focus?
I think
on
we've
it?
Definitely seen improvements in awareness. And I also feel, this is just a gut feeling, that it's not like it's more of a carrot than a stick. Like it's more like people want to do the right thing and not that they're worried about the lawsuits or whatever that comes with it. Like my gut feeling is that the average like person behind the product, like they don't want to make something that someone can't use or has a hard time using. So I feel like it's definitely better. I mean, when I started, so for a while I worked Campus Press, which was WordPress services for universities. And of course, universities have always been like further along in like accessibility awareness and importance. So we were able to continue that there. But now I think it's in everybody's mind. I don't know if it's top of mind, but it's,
yeah,
I think we made a lot of progress there. A lot of the work that you guys do.
Yeah. Thanks. We're trying. So, I do think I've noticed a pretty good shift from when we first started putting accessibility in our builds in like 2015, I felt like I had a hard time finding resources or other people or outside of WCAG, of course. But now I feel like I've noticed that, and we definitely, you know, I mean, it's hard because we market as accessibility. So people come to us when they're looking for accessibility. So it's hard to be like, we're getting asked about it more. Right. So sometimes that's in our marketing. But even before we switched to Equalize Digital, I did start to notice a trend of more people asking for it. I certainly see it in more RFPs, even outside of government now, like just larger organizations or nonprofits are asking for it. So.
And I think even after, I mean, I think we'll know what we want or like that we're there may not be good for like the brand of Equalize Digital. But when you don't have specific accessibility developers, you just have developers and all the developers can can do the accessible things, right?
Yeah.
And
I mean, we have literally said this in like in our meetings that like if we get put out of business someday because nobody wants us to build a website because every agency is building an accessible website, we'll just pivot what we're doing. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But it won't be a bad thing.
Right.
Like that's, I think that would that would mean that we've succeeded. And I mean, you know, I've had people say, like, I did a whole talk at our meetup where I literally outlined what our website accessibility remediation process is and how we do it on a monthly recurring basis that helps us with recurring revenue, but like also makes it more affordable for smaller companies and small, you know, website owners that can't necessarily pay a huge chunk in 1 month. And people were like, why did you present that? Like, I showed them our base, like how we do it at Basecamp, what our user journey is, like our pricing, like everything. And I was like, you know, I don't really think there's so much work out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
the statistics show that there's a lot of work to do. But like,
and if I can help other agency owners or developers figure out how to do this in their own process, then that's going to make their work better, which makes the web better for people with disabilities.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think that's why the work that's being done in WordPress for accessibility and you know, just as we're speaking here in Gravatar with the addition to an alt text field, which sounds like something so simple, but it's so huge because of the impact it's going to make on such a massively utilized code base, right? Like that one little change in getting pushed out into core is going to benefit 40%+ of the internet. I mean, that's why we put so much focus on WordPress, because has maximum impact.
Yeah.
You know, so. I will say somewhat selfishly, I'm also excited about this because we answer a lot of like support questions about things that Accessibility Checker flags and being like, all my avatars on my comments or in my author bios are getting flagged for having no alt.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to fix
and
that.
And I'm like, hey, when this gets fixed, I won't have to answer that support question ever again.
Or we could make it more intelligent. We can send them over. Like, well, I mean,
yeah.
Well, I guess like it's going to get pushed out, right?
If you get a help article, we can like notice that's what it is, and we can in the thing be like, click here to read how to fix this.
There you go.
That's
it's all about collaboration.
Yep.
So, well. It's been really fun chatting, Ronnie. I always enjoy chatting with you. And we live kind of close together, but I feel like we only see each other at big events.
Yeah, there's a river between us. And those of us in Austin know that you never cross the river. So it's kind of how it is.
You don't want to come out to the country. how can people get a hold of you if they want to follow up?
Gravatar.com/Ronnie, which is R-O-N-N-I-E. That's the easiest way.
Awesome.
There you go.
And you have alternative text on your image there, I'm betting.
I'm hoping so. I know I tested it, so it should be there.
Cool. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ronnie.
Thanks for listening to Accessibility Craft. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe in your podcast app to get notified when future episodes release. You can find Accessibility Craft on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And if building accessibility awareness is important to you, please consider rating Accessibility Craft 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Accessibility Craft is produced by Equalize Digital and hosted by Amber Hines, Chris Hines, and Steve Jones. Steve Jones composed our theme music. Learn how we help make thousands of WordPress websites more accessible at equalizedigital.com.